Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. This is the first broadcast of this week. I have the wrong thing here in my script. That's funny. If you can believe it, this is January 14th, 2021, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, and I'm here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. So we're going to continue studying where we left off last week. And if you'd like, please join us with a pen and paper and have your Bible ready to flip through and as we go into different scriptures, make notes. But before we get started, Rabbi, I'll pass the baton to you. Would you open us up with a word of prayer, please?
Yes, I'd be honored. Father, we thank you and we glorify you for this day. And we thank you for all days. But Father, up and coming, what is about to happen? We are excited because you are in us and that you desire for us to be with you. So we submit to be with you. We submit to calibrate everything that needs to be calibrated within us so that we are found within your will, your purpose, and your perfect plan for what's about to happen. So with that, Father, we deal with any spot or wrinkle or any such thing that would offend you by asking for forgiveness of sin, iniquity, and transgression. We choose, we make a quality decision to forgive those who have sinned against us, who cause iniquity against us. We hold no ought or offense against them, nor do we hold an ought or an offense that has been perpetrated against us. We release that right now in the name of Yeshua. We release it. We thank you, Father, for that release. We thank you for that comfort. We thank you for that joy. We thank you for that peace that passes all understanding right now, that is just permeating our hearts and our minds, saturating our very thoughts, so the enemy has no room, no opportunity to plague us or to derail us in those issues, in those situations. The blood of Yeshua has been poured out over those very incidences. Thank you, Father, for that very thing. We glorify you for this broadcast and for what you want to do and say. We submit to be very sensitive, very submissive and obedient to what you want to say today, how you want to orchestrate this meeting, and what words are you wanting us to gravitate to and hold on to and begin to nurture in us so that we bring forth the harvest within us that you're desiring, that you can use to bring glory to yourself. We glorify you for that very thing right now. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Andre, I will pass it back to you, sir.
Amen. Now we're going to go ahead and continue with our before Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug.
Baruch ata Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Well, Rabbi, I'll go ahead and continue with our recap for today. And I just want everyone to remember something that Rabbi mentioned really quickly at the end of his prayer last week. And he made reference to Psalms 91, verse 8, a reminder that under the shadow of the Almighty, we will, quote-unquote, only with our eyes see the calamity of the wicked. If you have not read this chapter of Psalms 91 recently, I encourage you to reread it and meditate on it, as it brings a lot of refocus on who our Yah is, especially in perilous times. This is also a call. Rabbi gave a call last week that we need to build up our most holy faith, Jude chapter 1, verse 20, and the shield of faith, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. We need to not only allow our faith we need to not allow our faith to be shaken, but rather to build up our faith and stand firm when we have done all. We must be aware and know the signs of the times. That's one thing. That's a given. And it's not for knowledge's sake or to tell others about what we know, but more specifically to allow ourselves to be comforted, knowing that our Messiah, our husband, our Father, more specifically, knows that the end from the beginning and is orchestrating and in control, is to comfort us so that we remember our hope and to be free of all worry, anxiety, and confusion. These are not the will or purpose of the Father or His Son for His bride. Now, as the things around us begin to affect others, other individuals in their faith and their desires and their situations, Rabbi was telling us that we must be opposed to the way that they are responding. We are to stand firm. So essentially, when we see others being shaken with what's being shaken around them, we have to all the more grab hold of and stand firm on the rock. Now, it is no secret that we definitely see that 2021 will be going to be a fast track, in fact, catastrophically so, of the enemy's agendas on all fronts. Any front that has been a battleground between good and darkness, frankly, will be again intensified. We even began to look and talk about the nature of the fall of the mystery Babylon. And we looked at Revelation chapter 18, starting with verse 1, all the way through verse 8. And in this section, we began to look at the Apostle John and the vision that he had. He was taken to a place he was unfamiliar with. We took that as something to note, the fact that he was unfamiliar with it. This passage describes Babylon's falling and the devastation that comes upon her. Now, the thing is that Babylon itself thought no calamity would ever come upon her. But when we looked at all the different things, the lavish living, the control and the influence of the nations, the riches, it was hard not to see that the United States of America most reflects the depictions of the materialistic vanity that we see here in this section. And so that becomes a wake-up call for us as well, to realize that we are very close to times ahead, the perilous times. We then went back a chapter, and we looked at Revelation chapter 17. We looked at a key word, a very important word when discussing Revelations and the chapters within it. But it's the Greek word, metatauta. And oftentimes it is translated as after these things. But as Rabbi was sharing, again, he pointed us back to one of the definitions, which means in conjunction with these things. The fall of the mystery Babylon in conjunction with the things that are happening within the seventh seal, which is the wrath of God. So we want to make sure that we are pinpoint accurate as we're looking at these sections to keep in mind which things are in conjunction with things and in the order that they take place. We did talk about the woman and how that she is the great city that controls rulers and leaders of the earth. And again, this lines with the U.S., so keep in mind that the things mentioned in this section are taking place in conjunction with the wrath of God. Now, we are getting a clearer picture of how close we may actually be to the rapture within these perilous times. And we looked at Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 to 38. And there was a key phrase here that was also, interestingly, pointing towards commonalities that we see within the United States. Where it talked about how God would rescue his people and bring them into the wilderness of the peoples. And of all the nations on earth, many bear similarity, but the United States definitely represents itself as a nation built up of many different peoples, in many different languages, in fact. Now, the events that happened in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34 and 38, where God said he'd bring his people into this place and try them and make them pass under the rod, these things have not happened yet. As far as the latter portion, which connects with the last Exodus. This passage describes the last Exodus. And the first Exodus, of course, was out of Egypt, away from a Pharaoh. Of course, the Pharaoh was the leader of this nation. Now, we are in a situation now where we are changing the guard, if you will. And so even the leader of this nation, if we can call him that, the Pharaoh, if you will, we need to also be watchful of how this Pharaoh interacts with the Spirit of the Almighty God. If he hardens his heart, then there's hardness that will come towards him. Now, we need to prepare our hearts and our minds for the signs of the last Exodus that we see mentioned here in Ezekiel chapter 20. Now, we have a promise as brides from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, that if we are walking circumspectly with our relationship intact with Yeshua during the hour of temptation that tries the whole world, we will be kept from it. Again, going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, the bride is not created for wrath. Wrath is not intended for the bride. And so we have to keep that perspective in mind. Now, as we go back to the concepts in Revelation chapter 18, the wrath component connects with what we see in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, all the way through chapter 27, verse 3. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19, all the way to the end to chapter 27, verse 3. Now, this passage helps us to keep in mind the flow of the things that will transpire toward the end and toward the wrath. These are three events. I'm going to list three events again that we mentioned last week that we need to keep in mind. The first event mentioned in this passage is the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. And this is the only one that has been fulfilled yet. We can parallel that with Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53. The second event we see here is a depiction of the rapture, where the Father says, "Come, my people, hide yourselves for a little while." And he points to the fact that his indignation or wrath is coming. And then the third event is the wrath itself that we see here, where the Father is punishing the earth for its iniquity. And even the great serpent Leviathan is judged. Now, conclusion of this recap, this is what I'll leave us with. We must press into adhering to all that Yah desires at this time for us. This is the type of revival that Yah is looking for. He's looking for that individual, that revival that happens from within the soul. And he's calling us forth. He commands us to come out from among her. That is the Babylon we mentioned in Revelation chapter 18:4. And that's not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Come out from the system. Come out from the thinking. Come out from the ways of life. Come out from being attached to and being dependent upon them. This is very important. So, Rabbi, at this time, I'll go ahead and pass the baton back to you so we can continue our conversation. Rabbi.
Amen. Amen. That's excellent recap. And I want to digress a little bit within that particular recap to make sure that there is no ambiguity here pertaining to what perceivably is a timeline. Now, when I say a timeline, I'm saying a chronological order of events that is spoken of in Revelations and where we are in that particular timeline. And, you know, which is first and which is second and which is third and that type of thing. Now, with that being said, we jumped into Revelation chapter 18, and although we may have given a preface, I want to make sure that we preface that preface this time to make sure that it doesn't build any type of artificial anxiety in anyone, thinking that, okay, this is going to happen in my time, in our day. Now, what I mean by in my time and our day is this. Revelation chapter 18, talking about Mystery Babylon, talking about the great harlot, talking about the great city, all of those being metaphors of the exact same nation that we believe, could be wrong, but that we believe is U.S., the United States. This is a judgment. This is a wrath, if you will, of God that's going to happen at the end. And I want to preface this again. At the end of the tribulation period, during the seventh seal. And within that seventh seal, we know that there are going to be trumpets. We know that there are going to be vials poured or bowls poured out upon the earth. And that whole seven seal concept that starts in Revelation chapter 8, if you're taking notes, all of that is the wrath of God, okay? All of that is going to include, all of that is going to include this particular nation, this Scarlet Woman. And I want to make sure that everyone understands that, because we are, we the bride, those of you that are brides that are listening to this, we are not appointed for the wrath. So we're not appointed to be here when the seventh seal starts. Now, with that being said, understand this. There's a difference between the seventh seal and the whole wrath of God concept and the sixth seal, okay? Within the sixth seal, which is, we talked about already, Revelation chapter 6, starting to verse 12 and going all the way to chapter 7 at the end, all of that is inclusive of the sixth seal. Now, we have not stepped into that yet. There's a tremendous manifestation in the sky that is supposed to happen that will kick off the sixth seal. It's talked about in verse 12 of chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. So we will know, everyone, the whole earth will know when the sixth seal is open. Okay? Now, why are these events important? Well, they're important, number one, so that we can have the strength and the ability to have our faith be focused in the right direction and be focused on those things that are coming so that we don't lose faith. The Father and Yeshua want to make sure that, number one, this is the number one thing, that we don't lose faith. That's what's going to be attacked in this season, in this time, to the believers, but especially to the brides. Now, we talked about, Pastor Andre, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and we barely kind of mentioned the gifts of the Spirit, but we did mention that faith is both a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. So oftentimes, whenever you hear, or at least I noticed in my walk, whenever I hear someone talking about the Spirit of Faith, I'd say 99% of the time they're focused on the gift of the Spirit. The problem here, not with what they're focused on, if that's what they're referring to and that's what they're talking about, but in the end times, the gift of the Spirit is what is going to cause many to fall. Now, I know that's a harsh word, but I want to explain myself. My focus, your focus, our focus on the gift of the Spirit to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of Faith, which is necessary. It's necessary for the gift of the Spirit to operate. I'll never argue with anyone about that. But if you and I are focused on the manifestation of the Spirit of Faith pertaining to the gift during this particular time period that we're about to embark on and about to step into, then you and I, if that's where our main focus is, that's where we will be deceived by the enemy. Now, the reason why I say that is because I believe that we are in Revelation chapter 13 right now. I believe that. I believe that we're on the cusp of the Antichrist, who is already here on earth, revealing himself. I also believe that we need to realize that, and we're going to go there, Revelation chapter 13, but we need to realize that Satan, the demonic realm, is by no means threatened or fearful of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Satan and the demonic realm is by no means afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. They're fearful and very afraid of the fruit of the Spirit of faith. Now, Pastor Andre, I'm going to take a couple seconds just to let that sink in. Because what the adversary has done to the body of Christ, primarily, is got them focusing so much more on the gifts, and especially the gift of faith, because of how it operates all of, you know, it's functional in operating all of the other gifts, to where we are in the, being placed in the same scenario as the children of Israel with that first Exodus. With that first Exodus, those manifestational giftings that Moses did through Aaron by way of the rod were matched, the first three, I believe, were matched by the magi there, the priests, the satanic priests. They were matched. They were in no way threatened, afraid, awestruck, taken back by any of the gifts of the manifestations that Moses and Aaron did. Now, they were taken back by the effects upon them in Egypt. But the actual manifestation was not anything that they were unfamiliar with. Now, this is an important note that we need to take into account. And if we, whoever is listening to me, needs to recalibrate your understanding of what you were thinking pertaining to faith. When Yeshua says, you know, when I return, will there be any faith on the earth? He was not referring to the gifts of the Spirit. He was not referring to the manifestational gifts. He was referring to the fruit of the Spirit of faith. Now, this is so important that you get this. Because as we get ready to go into Revelation chapter 13, I want you to understand that your and my faith and in relationship to Yah's word and in relationship to him and his promise to us is the very thing, it's actually the only thing that Satan is terrified of. He's absolutely terrified of that connection. So the only way that he can win over that is to get you and I to focus our faith in the gifts and the manifestation of the gifts, as opposed to what is the most important thing, and that is the fruit of the Spirit of faith in relationship between us and Yeshua and us and the Father. Now, before we jump into Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to pass it to you just, you know, for a couple of moments for you, Pastor Andre, to kind of reflect and maybe look at this from a standpoint of what was said and seeing the trick of the enemy, exposing the very aspect of where the enemy is trying to get us to view or to look away and not keep our focus on these fruits again, as we've talked about before. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. You know, it reminds me how the enemy's main objective, period, is to get our eyes off of Yeshua and the Father. And that's, I mean, that's in essence why we label a lot of those dark arts occultic. They occult, meaning to take one's focus or to cover, and then not just cover, but to move that gaze or that focus elsewhere. And it's part of his playbook. But when we're talking about how believers have been led to focus on the gifts, you're exactly right, because it hit me how the scripture says the gifts are given without repentance. So individuals, for example, like in Balaam, in Numbers, he was able to, and he knew how to approach God, but yet he was full of wicked motivation, and so his gifts were used in the wrong place. And so we see that the enemy oftentimes will try to get people's focus off Yah and to take them and their gifts for his purpose. And that's a scary thought. So if we realize that everyone has the ability to walk in gifts, now we can understand, even in end times, why there will be many deceived by quote-unquote wonders. But we have to remember, Rabbi, what we've seen and what's been taught about Matthew chapter 7, where even Yahushua is saying, you know, the gifts are not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that knowing intimacy. Because the individuals in Matthew chapter 7 said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and done these things, healed and done miracles in your name? And yes, they've used those gifts, and they even did it in his name, but they did not know Yeshua. So Yeshua is looking for that relationship, and that closeness of relationship with him, the Spirit, is what cultivates the fruit. And so while a sinner or while an unbeliever may be able to operate in gifts, an unbeliever sinner is not going to be bearing the fruit by the Spirit in the way that Yeshua is looking for. And so that's one interesting way, a litmus test that we can go and look and see, well, is a person walking in the fruit of the Spirit? We can then begin to determine whether or not they are yielded to the Spirit in that manner. Those are some of the thoughts that come to my mind, Rabbi.
Amen. And those are excellent, because too often, because it's not, like you said, it's not glamorous. It's not glamorous to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. But we also need to understand it is the fruit of the Spirit that destroys the work of the flesh. It is the fruit of the Spirit that actually puts the devil and all of his devices at bay. It is the fruit of the Spirit of faith that becomes that shield of faith that's talked about by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 throughout 12 to 16. He's not talking about, and I chuckle in a sad way, because so often we're programmed that whenever we see the word faith, we automatically think of the gifts. But that's not what Paul is emphasizing there as far as the armor. That armor is not the gift of the Spirit that he's referring to when he says, the shield of faith is the fruit of faith. That's what destroys the enemy. That's what quenches his fiery darts. So let's go ahead and jump into Revelation chapter 13 again. And sure. As we begin to read this, I want us to take note. There's a passage in, I want to say verse 14, but it's somewhere in that particular passage where it says that the adversary makes war with the saints and has been given the authority and the power to overcome the saints. In other words, to win against them. Now, what we have to understand is these particular saints we're referring to are us. That's not saints after the rapture has already happened. In this particular aspect, the rapture has not happened yet. And these saints are brides. And the brides have that type of authority. And the adversary's goal is to wear down the saints, as we know, talked about in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, the B part. To wear down the saints. And then be able, for 3.5 years, to have authority over the whole earth. So that means that I have to work on my resolve. Pastor Andre, I've got to get back in the spiritual gym and really get my faith up. Which faith are we referring to? Not talking about the gift.
The fruit.
Faith. Yes, sir. We're talking about the fruit. Faith. But do you see how we have been so deprogrammed and reprogrammed with that whole word faith to where we always gravitate to, oh, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Mm-hmm. We're being set up. We're literally being set up for the adversary to do the big switch.
Mm-hmm.
We're being set up to be like Samson. Do you see that? So that when the Philistines finally come, Samson, no power. No power. As strong as any other natural man. In other words, getting us out of the spiritual into the natural, thinking that we are spiritual, and then losing both spiritually and naturally. Revelation chapter 13, starting at verse 1.
All right, and I'll start with King James, unless you'd prefer me to start with the Amplified.
You can go ahead and start with the Amplified, only because we've already have read this and kind of dissected it. So I just want to get to around the 14 area, or the area where it talks about Satan having that authority over and being able to kill the saints.
Yes. Okay. So this is Amplified, Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 1. As I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns he had 10 royal crowns, or diadems, and blasphemous names, titles, on his head. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him the dragon gave his own might and power, and his own throne and dominion. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. They fell down and paid homage to the dragon, because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshipped the beast, exclaiming, "Who is a match for the beast, and who can make war against him?" And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. And he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. Verse 7, he was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of the life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world. Is that good?
Yes, sir, it sure is. Now, and was that verse 14 that you got to?
That was actually, I got down to verse 8.
Verse 8, okay. Oh. Now, one of the things that I want to make sure that we see here is you're talking about a situation where this particular Antichrist figure is going to have the authority and the power over the whole world. He's given that. He's allowed that to happen. If I am a believer, Pastor Andre, I'm getting very excited right now, so I'm going to calm down.
Mm.
But if I am a believer, and I believe that the kingdom of God is going to rule and reign on the earth before the rapture, which is some teaching out there, during the tribulation period, which is some teaching out there, this nullifies all of that. This says that that is false. This literally echoes Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. You do see that, right, Pastor Andre?
Yes, yes.
So, if I am to believe that this great movement of God, this great Christian movement of believers, New Testament believers, are going to rise up and they're going to conquer the enemy and they're going to, you know, manifest the gifts of the Spirit and just take charge, then I am already deceived by the evil one. Who would have thought that a man-made disease could cause a pandemic that would literally cripple, if not shut down, all of the worship and relationship, the relational one-on-one and corporate assemblies in one fell swoop? No one would have thought about that in their playbook if they're honest with each other. But it's already happened. So I hope and pray that as we continue in this study, that individuals begin to realize that, you know, the faith that we say that we have is already focused on the wrong gifting. It's focused on the giftings as opposed to the fruit. And because of that, that's one, not the only, but that's one. Because of that, we were able to be outwitted, if you will. And the peer pressure, which is now the biggest in it, the peer pressure of a grassroots movement or corporate movement to try to renounce all of this is very shortly, in 2021, you'll see that it's very shortly going to be met with criminal action. So the preparedness that the evil one has placed, the diabolical strategies are playing themselves out according to his playbook. But what we as believers need to understand is if it was already written thousands of years prior, then the same unction of the Spirit that caused men to write this so that our faith, fruit of the Spirit, could and would be strengthened and securely intact, that same word will manifest the release and the favor and the protection for the bride. Now understand, this protection is going to be for the bride only. Pastor Andre, I know that I may get some flack for saying that, but do you see where, when you go back to Revelation chapter 12, and read verse 17, both in King James and the Amplified, you quickly realize that the adversary, the demonic realm, the Antichrist, and his one world government is against one enemy and one enemy only. He's not concerned, nor is he going to go after the individuals that are servants or friends, spiritually speaking. He's not going to go after Christians. He's not at war with them, but he is most definitely at war with the bride. Mm-hmm. Now, the bride is spelled out in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And this particular bride, when you begin to look at it, not only in 13, chapter 13, verse 12, which we're going to go to, but also in Revelation chapter 14, chapter 13, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. But these give an account of the saints Now, when I say saints, I'm referring to the bride only. But these give the account of the saints during the time of the Great Tribulation, during the time that the Antichrist has revealed himself, during the time that the manifestation of what is happening happens. Now, we want to make sure that we get this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, King James and Amplified.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and start with King James here. And it says here, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And real quick, to clarify for those listening, the woman here, as we talked about before, is Israel. So I'll read it again. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, for Amplified. "So then, the dragon was furious and raged at the woman, and he went away to wage war on the remainder of her descendants, on those who obey God's commandments and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and adhere to it and bear witness to him."
Who adhere to him and bear witness. In other words, who abide in him and his words abide in them, and the fruit, hello,
mm-hmm.
not the gifts. Gosh, I feel like I just have to hammer that concept. The fruit of faith, not the gifts of faith. Now, am I saying that the gifts of faith aren't going to manifest? No, of course not. They're going to be manifesting in a large way in order for individuals to begin to see the power of God. The power of God is going to be manifesting during this time period in a very, very significant way, because God wants to get our attention so that the gospel can be preached. But keep this in mind, the gifts are there for that particular purpose and only that purpose. It's to get you back to a place of wholeness so that you can make a righteous decision. That's what the gifts are there for. That's why God gave the gifts. They're for healing and restoration of the body of Christ. Only. But now, once that happens, the fruit of the Spirit is what we all must have. But that fruit of the shield of faith is what's going to destroy the fiery darts. Not just deflect them or cause them not to hurt you. That shield also, it's a defensive posture, not an offensive posture. So that means even in my motives and my actions, Pastor Andre, I have to make sure I'm doing it in a defensive posture. That means my focus must still be on Yah and Yeshua. That's got to be my focus. Daniel is, and we've been looking at him a lot, but Daniel's a perfect example. Daniel didn't go after, he did not go after his accusers. He didn't raise arguments against his accusers. I mean, that is phenomenal to me. I just, you know, just really, I mean, the kind of homeostasis and place of protection and with his mind, will, and emotions that Daniel had found himself to be in, nothing could shake him. Nothing could rattle him. That's where we must be in this coming time. And the only way we get there, of course, is, Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 13, 14, that talks about by reason of use. But reason of use is the use of the Word of God pertaining to the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts will manifest, but the gifts manifest as the spirit leads, not as the human being leads.
That's good.
And we've got a lot of individuals that are caught up in that. What do you think, Pastor?
Wow. We have a lot of working up of our own inclination and motivation. And people enjoy the gifts. There is a glamorous aspect of it, as we mentioned earlier. And I love when you said it hit me like a bullseye. As the Spirit wills, the gifts manifest. But yet we work up and we conjure up, in a sense. And I say we loosely, meaning, you know, Christendom. We spend so much time working that up, but yet we see the results without the fruit. It really is, like it says in 1 Corinthians, a resounding noise.
Amen. So with that being said, with us understanding, with us comprehending now that this is what is supposed to be happening, and the fact that this war is coming against the saints, coming against the offspring, coming against those who are connected and embracing the commandments of God and who are totally saturated in Yeshua. It's not an either or here. And this is the definition of saints. We can't just call ourselves saints just because, you know, we're Catholic. You know, and that's not the biblical prerequisite. We can't just call ourselves saints because we're Jewish. That's not the prerequisite. The biblical understanding of what the offspring is very clear in this passage. That's who the saints are. So if we are looking for an escape hatch, if we're looking for a rapture before tribulation or any of that, we've already given you enough information to let you know, oh no, the Father and the Son are definitely allowing the bride, the saints, to go through a certain aspect of the Great Tribulation. That's a given, or should be, correction, it should be a given. I don't think that's something that everyone has bought into yet, but I definitely believe with the whole pandemic that we're running into, individuals are really starting to question, at least question, this rapture before tribulation concept. Not understanding the full gravity of what the Father is saying. We go back to Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, we talked about the beast coming out of the sea. And that, of course, is a depiction of the very rise of the Antichrist from the sea of the world, of the population, of the people, of the tribes, of the tongues, of the languages. And we are at the cusp of that, I believe, very strongly. Because this is a precursor. This is COVID-19 is a precursor to get people in a position to where they cannot buy or sell. Pastor Andre, and I'm sure others on this call are already running into this, already realizing this, already have individuals that have experienced what I'm about to share. Now, whether or not it is the mark of the beast, I am not here to discuss that nor to go into that. But I definitely believe it's a precursor for that very thing. Because what is actually happening when you look at God's playbook as opposed to the enemy's playbook, you begin to see some similarities. Some similarities in the fact that individuals in 2021, which we just stepped into, Gregorian calendar concept, individuals are already in a process of being forced, being coerced, being pressured into taking the vaccine or else being fired. And in our particular case, we have a close relative that recently had to take the vaccine, or else the person would not be seen by the doctor to fulfill the follow-up necessary surgery and medical care that is needed by that special physician. She was told that if she did not take that vaccine, that he would not be able to finish what he's already started with her and would not be allowed to come to the hospital. Do you hear me, Pastor Andre?
Yes.
So she took the vaccine, not wanting to, not believing that it was right, but in a coercion situation. And I see this and I'm like, Father, I know that the rapture is coming soon, because in 2021, there is going to be such a pressure, such a forceful demonic strategy to try to force as many people as possible to take this vaccine, work-related, travel-related. We're even beginning to see situations with the fact that you would be able to fly from one place to another. It may even get as bad as not being able to go from one state to another, even one city to another, primarily because if you don't have it, then you're not allowed to be in their area. These are up-and-coming mandates that we need to prepare ourselves for. Because the thing that needs to be understood is, and we can go there, Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, that the saints, the bride, again, who I'm referring to, she has to understand and be patient. And patience is what? We've talked about this. Patience is a part of the fruit of the Spirit again. That's what's going to combat all of this foolishness, all of this anarchy, all of this push by the enemy. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12.
All right. I'm reading from the Amplified here. Here comes in a call for the steadfastness of the saints, the patience, the endurance of the people of God, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus.
Oh, Pastor Andre, I enjoyed that read. Those who habitually, I mean, that means you wake up in the morning with your mind, not just with your mind stayed on Yeshua, but with your mind to fulfill the will of the Father and the will of the Son. And throughout the day, you check on yourself to ensure that you're doing that very thing. And then at the end of the day, you reflect on those things, apologize, ask forgiveness for the things that you missed, and give glory and honor to Yah for the things that He, by way of His power, His strength in you, were able to successfully fulfill. Each day, we are in a daily check and balance time period. It's a daily thing. Because as the adversary is prodding and pushing and forcing his agenda, each day, the spiritual influence that God has given us is being taken away. It said that the saints would be overcome by the enemy, that the authority and the power, and that he would have power over the whole earth. We have two agendas right now, two scenarios come January the 20th. We've got a scenario where there potentially could be a martial law in order to set some things straight. But then we also have a situation where we could have a coup. We could have a takeover, and we could have a changing of the guard. Now, that changing of the guard is going to, in my opinion, I sure hope and pray I'm wrong, but in my opinion, if the guard changes, if the pharaohs change, then I believe with all certainty that we are going to be thrusted into the beginning of the Great Tribulation of 3.5 years. I believe that we are going to begin to see it become to fruition and begin to manifest, and it's going to happen so quickly, so fast, that we're going to be on the Father's timeline that Yeshua was speaking to the apostle about. And that the deception is going to be so strong, so luring, to where it says if God did not shorten that time period, even the elect would be shaken. Their faith would fall. They would be deceived. And when it's referring to the elect, it's not just referring to DNA Israel. When it's referring to the elect, it's referring to the bride. So this whole concept of the fruit of the Spirit is something that we have got to really embrace and allow it to be our mainstay. Because that is what's going to be the actual keeping power of God in us. Pastor Andre, I'm going to close with this, but I'd like for you to get your comments, your closing comments, and if you would, also give individuals an opportunity to know a little bit more about us.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi. Folks, I'm listening just as you are, and you can't help but one. I'll say this. The one thing that really stands out to me today in our broadcast is the importance of us focusing on what matters most. One, our relationship with Yeshua, and two, bearing fruit. And Rabbi, you made allusion to, I believe it's John chapter 15, remaining in him, remaining in the vine. He is the vine where the branches, those who abide in me shall bear much fruit. And that is the recipe right now for us to be strengthened and to be prepared for what we see coming. And Rabbi, again, I also do concur with you that things are going to begin to move quickly. And so this is why we're in the season of preparation, the season of preparing our hearts and our minds, even for things that may seem, how could that be true? It's almost like prepare for the unexpected. But it shouldn't be unexpected to us because Yeshua told us many of these things beforehand. Going back to Matthew chapter 24, I encourage you all to go back there. In fact, we started this series in that chapter many weeks ago, months ago. So I just want to encourage everyone, again, that we have the recipe for success in Yah. And again, the picture that Rabbi, we were talking about, that we just read, it was so good. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. This is now the time to make a habit of doing what is righteous, to make a habit of spending time and building the relationship with Yeshua so that there is nothing missing or broken in us. This is the time for peace when there is no peace. It's an internal peace that comes from, again, the fruit of the Spirit. There's so much, Rabbi, that is just overlapping that we've discussed over the weeks and months even. But now is the time where we're going to have to put this into some serious practice. Not just head knowledge, as we talked about earlier. This is not for us to have a head knowledge, but for us to have an application of the wisdom and the Word of God for this time. So I'd like to thank all of you for listening today. Thank you for joining with us as we study and prepare ourselves even for the perilous times. This broadcast is called These Be Perilous Times, and we're seeing just the tremors, if you will. But we know that our rock is steadfast, and we will not be moved or shaken when we remain on Him. So we're glad that you've taken time to engage in the study of Yah's Word with us, and we encourage you to go back and study these things as Bereans, and see if these things are true. And if they are, as I say, then it's time to apply it. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, we encourage that. You can leave us a comment at email, or email us at office@bethhashem.org. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about us, you can visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. That's Bethhashem, BethHashem.org. You can find out more about us on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And that's all one word, lowercase. Also, if you'd like to learn a little bit more, have a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.bethhashem.org. And things that we've discussed here, even Revelation and the revelation of Jesus Christ and also the Hebraic gospel, many things that we touch on in part in this broadcast are covered in great detail in that course and in college. So please look into that if you're interested. Finally, if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, you can contribute via Cash App, and that's www.cash.app/$BethHashem. Or you could mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. For those of you who have donated and contributed, we say thank you. And we encourage those of you who have been blessed by this broadcast or ministry of police to contribute and help us to keep this going in fullness. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and bless Yah with closing this session today with the After Torah blessing. And I'll continue also with the Aaronic benediction, the blessing from Numbers chapter 6, just for everyone to hold on to and to agree with. And then we'll close and pass to Rabbi with for the closing prayer. So at this time, I'll go to Pastor Doug for the After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam nata bikotenu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen, amen. At this time, I'll recite the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English.
Yivarechecha Yehua ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehua panavelecha v'chunecha Yisai Yehua panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, as we lean into your promises and into your protection and into your peace, Father, we ask and pray that you begin to reveal to us and in us those areas, those spots, those wrinkles that need to be addressed in us. Father, this is a desire and a time in which we must be cleansed and purified of all wickedness, of all sin, of all iniquity, of all transgression. This is a time and a season that we must not be connected to the world in an ungodly way. We should not ever have a piece of the world that would cause us to be tainted. But Father, our desire is for you to begin by way of your Spirit to shine a light upon us daily so that we can deal with the old man, so that we can deal with the man of sin that would try to hinder us from fulfilling all that you've called us to be and to be who you've called us to be. Father, I thank and praise you for the new man. I thank and praise you for the blood of Yeshua. I thank you, praise you for the washing of the word by the Spirit. I thank and praise you, Father God, for the light that shines in the dark places of our life. I thank and praise you and glorify you, Father, because you prepared a place for us. You prepared us for that place, and you're helping us be ready. In the passage of Scripture, it says, and the bride made herself ready. So, Father, help us, guide us, strengthen us, show us, empower us. Not by the gifts of the Spirit, but empower us by the fruit. So that we may be that pure, chaste bride that you desire for your son, Yahushua, to marry. In Yahushua's name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.